There's an interesting principle that was brought to light a number of different times while we were down in Texas with my dad. My mother, of course, has gone home to be with the Lord, and we had a little bit of a different kind of funeral arrangement. On Friday, not this past one, but the one before, we had a visitation from 10 o'clock in the morning until 8 in the evening, the last 2 hours of which were spent together in something of a service, where we had the gospel presented and some preaching and some congregational singing, as well as some testimonials and some special music from a variety of different sources. And then Saturday morning, we had a 20-minute funeral, like what we're used to, except about 20 minutes. It involved some music and some more scripture, pretty much a review of what we had gone through from the scriptures the night before. And then the entire group got up together and moved out to the vehicles and went out to the graveside. And we had one of the longest graveside. The graveside service was abbreviated and brief, like it's usually in our experience. But then everybody who was in attendance walked past the family to shake hands and love on us and give some encouraging words. We were out there for quite a little while. I was grateful for the tent because, you know, we have warm weather here, but down there they have warm weather, and the humidity was extremely high for what we're used to here. And but the Lord blessed. It was a very encouraging time with the church family there. They have adopted both of my parents as family, and if you know anything about Hispanic families, sometimes closer to third world Asian families, very close-knit. Italy has large family gatherings. It happens actually in several places around the world. But it was just a huge, while we were in the hospital, I don't remember, it was a week. And we had church family members, a couple of younger ladies that I knew when they were knee high to a grasshopper, who came and sat with us for hours just to be part of us while we were doing that vigil. The Lord blessed in a number of different ways. But my dad continued to say, because over the past 3 or 4 years, and especially over the past 8 or 9 months, my mother has needed a lot more personal attention and care. And my dad spent a lot of time serving her. And there is a reality that we know from the scriptures. It just makes sense. And you can see it there if you look, that when you choose to be a servant, the one to whom you have committed yourself to serve becomes someone who you soon choose to love in deeper and deeper ways. The bond servant concept in the Bible among the Jewish people, where someone would, to pay off a debt perhaps, would give themselves over to being a servant to a given family to pay off their debt. And as they served that family, they would gradually learn to love that family at least as much as they love their own, if not more. And then they would choose to commit the rest of their lives to serving that family in that capacity. They would have their ear punched through. They would find a doorpost. The Bible actually talks about this, and they would have an awl put there and punched right. Hard way to get your ear pierced, but that meant that they had bonded themselves to a family for life because of their great love for that family. And my dad spoke of, they've always had a good relationship. We as their children, I have three sisters, all younger. So that's why I don't know if that means I'm more sane or less, but we've always had great confidence in my parents' relationship. But My dad has said that over the past several months, especially, Mom has become that much more precious to him. And so it was tough on him, her homegoing, although he also has this consistent peace and contentment knowing that she is with her Heavenly Father. And he mentioned at one point, this is probably the hardest day that our family has ever had. And my sister said, yeah, but it's the best day of Mom's entire life to finally step into. And my dad repeated that to several people. That really spoke to him. Of course, my sister's all spiritual and everything, you know. But the Lord has blessed our family. And I hope that he blesses you as well in similar ways. So Mother's Day this year carries some significance. I wore this tie for all four or five speaking opportunities I had there because Dad asked me to take not only the funeral services but also the Sunday services, for which I needed a translator. And so if you know anything about public speaking through a translator, you have to cut your message in half because he's got to repeat everything you say in a different language to the best of his ability. And it bonds you that guy's going to be my friend for a long time. We're either friends or he really hates me. It's hard to tell, but I'm not such an easy one to translate for, at least in Spanish. But what a gift to be able to speak for my mother, for the Lord, for her Lord, on those days. And what a privilege to be able to come home and be here just in time with you for Mother's Day, to honor this gift that the Lord has given to us. I was reading in preparation about a little boy who was supposed to be saying some lines at a Sunday school presentation at church. And his mother was in the front row to help him remember his lines. And of course, his mind went blank when he got up front and he couldn't remember his words. So his mother was wording the lines back to him silently to help him remember. And he didn't understand it. So finally, she leaned forward and whispered the cue, "I am the light of the world." That's what his lines were. So he said with a big smile and with great feeling and a loud, clear voice, he said, "My mother is the light of the world." Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor who has had a godly mother." And there's a Spanish proverb, not Mexican, but a Spanish proverb that says, "An ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest." And I'd like to emphasize again that whether or not you are a mother, we all have one. Whether living or gone on before us, it is a unique thing. God stands as our, excuse me, this is allergies, not emotion, right at this particular moment. I'm not saying about later, but God stands as our Father, but the experience of having a mother is unique to this life here on earth. We don't read in the scriptures of angels having mothers, right? We don't read about mothers really anywhere except here on earth, and it's most poignant, of course, in our own personal experience. A very special and precious gift from our Heavenly Father to have a mother. And really, regardless of what your relationship is or was with your mother, God always has a specific purpose for everyone that he puts in our specific sphere of influence, whether they're influencing us or whether we can influence them. This doesn't just stand for our mothers, it stands for everyone. Everyone with whom you come in contact, even the people you stand in line with at Walmart or wherever Smith. Is that, Worth W. Smith, thank you. Wherever you happen to be in line with someone, or the person who's taking care of you at checkout, Fortunately, most of the stores still have a real person there. They're not there by mistake. And there's opportunities to step into if we so choose because of those, but it's especially true when it comes to our families. And the mother that you were given was a gift from the Lord, whether your relationship was easy or hard with her. To understand God's will in your life for mother, let's turn to the book of Proverbs and look at two passages quickly. I only have 2 points for this morning. You would think that would mean it's a shorter message, but we'll see what the Lord gives us. But for now, if you would turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 1. There's two passages that we can look at for this first point this morning. To understand God's will in your life for mother. A unique and special blessing in this life on this earth. And how interesting is it that the Lord Jesus, God in the flesh, had a mother. He had the experience of having a mother. What a blessing that he stepped into the blessing that he gave us as well. Now, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says, "My son," I'll read verse 9 too because they go together. "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." Notice those two differences. Those sound like parallelisms, and they are. But notice the similarities and the difference. "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." By the way, I don't believe those chains are meant to be like the choking collar of iron with chains to a wall. I think that's talking about decorations, the beauty of like a gold or silver chain around your neck. Those two verses go very well if you'll turn with me over then to chapter 6 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. I love the book of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters. It lends it very easy to read one chapter a day for a month. And if you do that through the year, there have been both men and women I've read about who read a chapter a day of Proverbs every month for years of their life. There's a lot of wisdom here. Proverbs, you got to be a little careful. You got to understand what Proverbs is. It's not giving laws of exactly how everything will turn out in every case all the time. But they are truisms about how nature, the laws of nature that God has put involved when it comes to morality and wisdom, how those things work. Can you jump off a two-story building without suffering injury? Well, you might be able to, but chances are you're going to get hurt. So Proverbs says, don't jump off two-story buildings because you'll get hurt. Even though you might not, it really is the best way to think that if you jump off a two-story building, injury is probably going to be the next thing that happens to you. These are Proverbs. There are other places in the Bible where God gives very specific promises that if this, then that. Remember that the book of Proverbs is more about wisdom and wise thinking than it is specific directives oftentimes. So read it in context, like we should with the whole scriptures. But in chapter 6, verses 21 and 22, I'm sorry, 20 and 21, verses 20 and 21, it says, "My son, keep your father's command," and look at this again, "do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart, tie them around your neck." And we could keep going there. It says, "When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from," and then it lists a number of dangerous things, including evil women and thieves and other things. It says in both of those passages something like, hear the instruction of your father and keep the command of your father. Hear and keep. Hear and obey. Hear and put in a place of significance the instructions or commands of your father. But then in both passages it says, do not forsake the law of your mother. In those two passages, the command concerning what the father brings to the table is a little bit different. Overlapping, but different. But it's the same for the mother's offerings. Why do you think that is? I would suggest, without trying to overthink this too much, that dad is more like a coach. Instruction and command, correction and standards. Remember how God, the Father, gave the people of Israel 10 commandments? This is just like a father. Commands, instructions. Dad is more like a coach. He'll say things, whether he's right or wrong in the instruction he gives, he will say things like, this is the way the world works, and my dad actually had a list of smartness rules. You ever heard of smartness rules? It was unique to our family, but every family has coaching from, they say, you ever notice how some pastors and preachers have little favorite sayings? Like, I like to say, when you're with the Lord, everything is okay. And I can testify to that, that it is very true. Or we could say, God is good. Praise. Now, there's some churches that say it backwards than the other way. All the time, and then the church says God is good. But I just get stuck on saying it that one way. These are things that function from a dad's heart, from a man's mind. God made men and women. I'm a complementarianism, a complementarian. I have dedicated myself. I know that sounds like I like to give compliments. Actually, what it means is I believe God created men and women, especially husbands and wives, to complement each other. Men have strengths and weaknesses. Women have strengths and weaknesses. Sorry, ladies. And they're meant to complement each other. God made Adam and Eve, the word rib in Hebrew can mean that tiny little bone. But really, it's not used that way in the rest of Scripture unless it's there's a different word that it uses for rib bone. Like there's a prophecy where there's a bear that has three rib bones in its mouth. It's symbolic of things. It uses a different word than it does in Genesis when it talks about Eve being made from the rib of a man. The word in Genesis means side or half. Anybody ever buy a side of beef? Buying a side of beef is great because you get this half a cow. Usually it's butchered into packages, hopefully. But it's pretty good. It's not just one tiny little piece. I think, it's just me, and maybe not just me because there's other people that think this way, that God created Adam, and then when he put him to sleep, he split Adam in half. Or he took the side of Adam, and he created man and woman, Adam and Eve. That's why when a man leaves his mother and father and is welded to his wife, cleaves to his wife, that's not just physically, that's in values, that's in goals, that's in the things they consider important, as well as physically. What are they called in the Bible? One flesh. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord knows exactly. I'm a complementarian. I believe God created us to work together, and that's best. It's unfortunate, isn't it, that sin makes us at odds so often. Pride makes us fight. It's purely the flesh. That was all for free. Now let's look at the passage. Smartness rules, the way God made a man's mind to work. I looked up advice that your dad gave you on the internet. And here's some things that I found, and I'll add one that I got from my dad at the end. One person said, their dad said, there's two ways to make money. One is to earn it, the other is to not spend it. Doesn't that sound like a dad? I want to tell you, Dave, before you get behind that steering wheel, you need to realize that you're responsible for and are using a lethal weapon. You can just as easily kill someone with a car as you can with a gun. Keep that in mind every time you drive. That was more counsel from someone else's dad. Here's a shorter version. Drive like everyone else is an idiot. It's not my words. It was just on the internet. Here's another counsel from someone's dad. Whenever you're in a conflict with another person, take a step back and think about exactly where they are coming from. Put yourself in their shoes and think about where they are coming from. Then think three steps ahead of them. It's just like chess. That sound like dad's counsel? My dad used to tell us, especially my daughters, or my sisters, I'm sorry, don't give away your heart till your head says it's okay. Because once your heart flies away, your head won't work right anymore. You won't see as clearly. You won't understand as much. My dad learned that from tough experiences in his family and from the scriptures, and he taught us those principles. But here's mom's counsel. That's dad's counsel, like a coach. Mom is more like a practical example. The Bible calls this her law, practical rules for daily life and management. And here's some of the things that I got from the internet about counsel that mom gave us. Very practical and much shorter than dad's. Ready? Clean up after yourself. Did you brush your teeth? Did you clean your room? Did you flush? Do your homework. Isn't it past your bedtime? Okay, but first take out the garbage. And, well, you could have called. Hey, these are counsels from mom's heart. Here's a few other ones that are a little bit longer. If you could stay out last night, you can get up this morning. Can't say I've never heard that one before. If you're too full to finish your dinner, you're too full for dessert. If you're too sick to go to school, you're too sick to play outside. And lastly, when you have kids of your own, you'll understand. Dad teaches oftentimes what is right, at least according to his perspective, and sometimes if his heart belongs to the Lord, hopefully what it's from God's perspective, general life principles. But mom reminds us to do right. Day-to-day practical living principles. Mom is concerned with a smoothly running home, so she will teach you how to minimize annoyances and maximize effectiveness. You know, if you do it this way, it will get clean and you won't have to do it all over again. Put it away when you use it, and that way you won't have to spend the whole day cleaning up a bunch of stuff that you should have put away earlier. Convenience and effectiveness and running a smooth household. Mom is concerned with making specific public impressions. So we get a lot of our social etiquette from our mothers. Now it's true, we can learn a lot from our dads as well. God made, in a very general way, a dad's heart to thrive and live in the realm of respect and honor, whereas he made a mother's heart concerned with nurturing and caring for each other, caring for ourselves, and caring for others. So she will teach us how to care about the little things and little ones. Proverbs 1. If you read the rest of the chapter after the two verses we read, if you follow the teachings of mom and their examples, it can protect you from evil men and from greed, especially from gaining things wrongfully or by violence. And in chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, if you continue reading through the chapter, you will find that if you follow mom's teachings and examples, it will protect you from evil women and moral offenses. You see, God has a specific will in giving you the mother that you have. It was not by mistake. Now, it's true. Just because moms are special and unique to this world and this life doesn't mean that moms are perfect. And sometimes we learn how not to be from our mothers as well as how to be. But they are unquestionably a serious part of God working in our lives, and the more we submit to God and His Word, the more we can look back. We can look back and see how God used both of our parents, and today is Mother's Day. We can look back and see how the Lord has used our mother or those who have stood in for our mother in our lives as we've grown. By the way, as a side note, helping someone understand God's will means two things. It means, first of all, learning to study God's word to learn what His will is according to the scriptures for us. And secondly, it means being patient. Because most often you can see God's will by looking back and seeing how He has led you through this life and where He has led you and to what you have put your hand to that it came from the Lord. I know that's frustrating for a lot of young people. They want to know what God's will is for me today. What should I do and where should I stand? But there's a reason God doesn't give us many of those answers until later. But mothers, God has a specific will in giving you the mother that He has given you. But for our second point this morning, understanding what God meant for you by giving you a mother, there's three different things we can learn from Proverbs that remain true regardless of your relationship with your mother or whether she's still here on earth with us or not. If you'll turn with me over to Proverbs 15, verse 20. What did God mean for us by giving us our mother, our mothers? In Proverbs 15, verse 20, it says, "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother." Wise and foolish. We can learn wisdom and learn how not to be a fool because of what God does through our mothers. Wisdom is a technical skill. Some of you know that our brother Ward, who's not here this morning, and I both love working on a wood lathe. And a wood lathe is a unique power tool that you put a piece of wood in it and it spins the wood. And then it has a tool rest, and you rest a special kind of chisel on that tool rest. And you put it against the wood, and you can carve all kinds of things on a piece of wood. If you've ever noticed a chair and the legs sometimes have different shapes, that was done on some form of wood lathe. Now, they've got mass production wood lathes that can turn out, you know, several thousand of those in a day. That's not what I work on. I like working on one piece of wood for a while, trying to reproduce that exact same kind of wood out of another piece of wood on a single wood lathe is a trick all by itself. There are secrets, but if you go up to a wood lathe, usually a wood lathe, it's very hard to get seriously injured on a wood lathe unless you're wearing a tie or have long hair, because you don't want any of that getting all tangled up in the wood lathe. You will get hurt very badly. But most of the time, the kind of injuries that you suffer on a wood lathe is not like the kind of injuries that you could suffer on a table saw. You know, you ever have one of those things where the guy had an accident on a table saw, he's missing fingers? On a wood lathe, most of the time, your finger might get hit by a piece of wood, and it hurts, and it cuts, and you have a bruise, and maybe you get arthritis, so it can linger. But on a wood lathe, it's a little bit safer than many other power tools. Unless you don't know what you're doing with the chisel. There are certain rules with a wood lathe with how you use those special chisels. I thought about bringing one to you, but going in my workshop with a black suit means I'll have sawdust all over. But if you know how to use the tool, you can get a very smooth cut on that piece of wood where you may not even need to sand at all if you use sanding. If you do a rough cut, you'll need more sanding. And it comes with learning how to use the skew, the chisel. That's what wisdom is. Knowledge is, well, this is what this tool is called, and this is the best way to use it if you want a smooth cut or a rough cut. And if you turn it this way, you can do this, but never turn it that way or it'll kick back at you. Knowledge is very useful, but wisdom is knowing how to best use that knowledge. That's one definition of wisdom. Technical skill with people and situations, knowing the best way to handle things, what places to avoid, what kind of conversations to avoid, what jokes to laugh at and not to laugh at, when it's time to excuse yourself and flee. Remember when Joseph dropped his coat and ran from that woman? These kinds of wisdom. The verse says, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Why did God give us mothers? To teach us the value of wisdom, practical wisdom. Secondly, he gave us mothers for something that you can see in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. If you look at Proverbs 20:20, which is an interestingly ironic way to talk about Proverbs, because it helps with our vision. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. Proverbs 20:20, it says, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. One thing about our mothers that's very important to remember is the word respect. You could use the word honor. Remember, one of the Ten Commandments is to honor your father and your mother. Honor your parents. Now, oftentimes this counsel communicates clearly to a man's mind, because men deal with and struggle with respect in a different way than women do. It's the same thing, same kind of idea, but God made men to work in places in their workplace, in their military, in churches, and it has to do with how we approach one another with respect. So a man who washes another man's feet, the Lord Jesus, the Master, the King, kneeling before his helpers, his students, the ones who were supposed to be helping him and learning from him, and he knelt before them and washed their dirty feet. What is that? That's God redefining the concept of respect for us and honor. And it's very different than how the flesh works. It's true that God made a woman's heart to thrive and to be healed by community and by the way we can nurture one another and the way they can nurture others. It's true that God gifted women with that special blessing. But women understand respect as well, don't we? I mean, everybody kind of understands the concept of respect. I would propose that we learn the concept of respect, especially when somebody isn't doing it to us the way we think they should. And learning how to respect others definitely is a sign of maturity, isn't it? When we learn to treat others with respect. The word curse in Proverbs 20:20 means to despise, to dishonor, to treat as though they do not matter much, or to treat with contempt. A lot of young men struggle with speaking to their mothers with the respect their mothers deserve. Now, there's reasons for that, not excuses, although they can be used as excuses. God made a young man's heart to want to go make his own family. And that can cause some real stress between him and his mother, who wants to continue nurturing and caring for him. I struggled with that as a teenager, and I've seen a lot of other young men struggle with treating their mothers right. Hopefully they grow out of that stage early on and begin to treat their mothers with greater respect, because this verse says that whoever curses his father or mother, whoever dishonors his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. Right when you need that light most, the light will go out. By the way, it's true, respect can be earned, but it can be and should be given freely also. It can be given freely, just like trust, just like love. Respect can be given freely. And as believers, we need to learn that skill. It is a spiritual discipline. Why did God give us mothers? First of all, to teach us the value of wisdom, and now to teach us the value of respect as well. And lastly, and quickly, because I've gone over already, Proverbs 23, verses 22 through 25, and we're very close to finishing this morning. Proverbs 23, starting in verse 22 down through verse 25, it says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." Chase truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. These are things that this passage and a number of other passages in Proverbs teaches. But notice how these verses have to do with our relationship with both of our parents. But it ends, at least that passage, with our mother, the one who bore us. Truth has to do with accuracy, honesty, integrity, being willing to step out of any fantasies we might have and acknowledge the truth of reality. Correctness, righteousness. Wisdom is knowing how to best use what you know. At least that's one definition. Instruction is how to correct your path. And understanding, did you see that in these verses? Verse 23, for instance. Understanding means seeing clearly how things work together. It's very similar to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine," that's teaching, "reproof, correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect," or mature, "thoroughly furnished unto all good works." If you strive for these things, discipline yourself in these godly things, the result is that your parents will be pleased and happy, content and settled. Why did God give us mothers? To teach us the value of wisdom, to teach us the value of respect, and to teach us the value of growing in how God measures good and evil, right and wrong. To teach us the value of growth in those ideas. Praise the Lord for mothers. Our parents, especially if they love the Lord, even with their imperfections, give us a glimpse, just a glimpse, of God himself. I understand our parents are not perfect, just like we are not perfect. We're hoping to grow, right, to grow in Christ, to learn how to do well and to do better. But my dad's love for my mother, which became very precious to him as he served her more and more, is just a glimpse of the kind of fulfillment and contentment and the precious thing that is the love we have from our Heavenly Father. It was just a glimpse. The union that we saw as their children, of them working together for years on a difficult mission field here in the United States, is just a glimpse of the union that we can have with our Heavenly Father, the confidence that we can have in Christ. God gave us our parents, even in their imperfections, to give us glimpses of his own heart. Dads teach us principles to live by, especially good and godly dads. But mothers, good and godly mothers, or even if they're not, are God's demonstration to us of what it means to take care of someone else, to be a servant to the family. And it's true, some mothers serve themselves, and some fathers serve themselves. But the ways that our mothers serve our families, grandmothers serve the family, is a beautiful image of a demonstration of what it means to be nurturing and to be caregiving. And God is loving, right? And nurturing and forgiving. At one point in the scriptures, it says that God longed to gather Israel like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wing. Remember when the Lord Jesus said that? What a beautiful picture of mothering from the Son of God himself. So today is Mother's Day. And in appreciation of that, and of my own mother, and what I hope the Lord gave you with your mother, I'd like to wish you a happy Mother's Day. But I'd like to remind you that what God has given us in our mothers, whether it was a tremendous blessing or a tremendous trial and struggle, God gave her to you on purpose to show you something of his heart, to teach you something about what it means to live in this life and walk with him and how it's always better with him, and to show us potentially an example of how we also can care for others the way he intended for our mothers. Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we close the service, and let's thank him for what he's done in our lives and our families, shall we? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great wisdom, and that despite all of our imperfections and our weaknesses and our struggles, all of the difficult ways that we complicate things and smell up the room, Father, you enter the picture, and all of a sudden, it's like springtime. It's a beautiful thing. Your forgiveness and your grace and your mercy. And mothers, Father, thank you for the gift of mothers. We know that even though sin has twisted the most beautiful things that you've given to us, we can still see how your hand moves because of your intentions with our families. Father, thank you that we have a day when we can stop and honor our mothers and honor you who came up with the idea. Father, I would ask that you would help us to never take these things too much for granted, but that we will always have thankful hearts. And we thank you that it was through our mothers often that you taught us to be thankful, even for little things and difficult things. But Father, as we move forward from here, I would ask that you would help us to look to you, our Heavenly Father, for how we should live, how we might be even spiritual mothers and fathers to someone who needs to walk with you better. Father, teach us to be lovers like you are the great one who loves. Teach us to be forgiving and caring and to be nurturing. Father, please help us now as we continue through the day and the points of time in which we choose to worship you in specific ways. We thank you for the time we've had this morning to look into your word and to admire some of the passages that you give us when it comes to instruction on how we should look to our mothers and our fathers. Father, thank you that we have this day to honor mothers. Please dismiss us now with a song and with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.